Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today we're going to talk about Shocker Baseball with Junior Sawyer Thornhill. Sawyer is an infielder and an outfielder. He is from Huntington, Texas. He is off to a hot start, hitting .354. He's got four doubles, three home runs for the Shockers, team leading 11 RBI, and he is on a 12-game hit streak. Sawyer is in his first season at Wichita State, transferring from Northeast Texas Community College. You can get out and check out the Shockers this weekend at X Stadium. They are 6-7. They're on a four-game winning streak after Tuesday's 6-4 win over Oral Roberts. They play South Dakota State this weekend, starting at 3 p.m. Friday. So Sawyer, Shockers have won 6 out of 7, have some nice victories in that span down in Texas. What changed for this team after the 5-2 win over Pepperdine?
Man, I just think that we competed with every game we've been in except Texas State. But I just think we came closer as a team. We learned how to win instead of trying not to lose. That was a big step for us. I think getting everybody in a lineup to click was a big thing, getting our pitching to throw it over, to basically give us a good chance to score runs while we could. So I think that was a big deal for us. I mean, going on this streak, I mean, we easily could be 9-4 or whatever, but we've clicked, and I think right now we're going at a steady pace, and I think it could do really great things.
So you started out with a whole bunch of road games. Mm-hmm. Coaches, athletes will often say going on the road can be beneficial because you're forced to get to know each other. You got to be together. You're on the bus. You're eating together. You got to know other people. Do you see that happening for the Shockers?
Oh, 100%. I think us being all together, making us closer as a team, for one, is just the biggest thing in baseball or any other sport, is just being close as a team to me. And I just think this road trip could really help us. And now that we're on this streak that we're on, I think that it just carried into home games. And I know the Shockers have been really good at home. I mean, Eric Wedge has done a really good job with being at home and winning games at home. So I feel like the road really helped us come together, and for sure could help us in the end.
So you mentioned a phrase that I think fans hear a lot: playing to win, not playing not to lose. Mm-hmm. Give us an example. What's the difference there?
So, like, instead of going in a game where we go up, I think in La Tech we were winning almost every single game we had the lead, and we basically kind of just tried not to lose instead of putting the foot on the gas and just keep going and scoring more runs, and pitchers throwing it over the plate, getting more strikeouts and stuff like that. So
the Shockers start 0-6. Describe how things stayed together. Did anybody say anything? Was there a dramatic moment? Was there a sense of calm? How did things stay on track?
So after we went 0-2, we were in Louisiana Tech. We got the whole team together and basically just talked about, because there was some back and forth going between hitters and pitchers, and we got the whole team together, and we win and lose as Wichita State. We don't win and lose as hitters and pitchers. We're together. We're not singling anybody out. Like, if we lose, it's on us. It's not just one fault or the other. So it was a big deal to have that talk. And even though we went 0-4 after that, I think that was a big step in recognizing that we could be a team that, like, could eventually get to the NCAA tournament.
So fans coming out this weekend, we're going to get a look at some new Shockers, people they probably have not seen a whole lot. Give us a couple of your teammates that maybe have impressed you early and that fans should pay particular attention to.
I mean, there's all kinds of guys. I mean, we got returners that have done their job. I mean, like Brock and me coming from a JUCO, we're expected to come in here and play every single day and to help us win in any way we can. I mean, Will Stark had a really good start against ORU Tuesday, and let's see, we got X that's made it. I mean, he struggled at the beginning, but, like, this dude is probably one of the best freshmen I've ever seen, like, in college. Like, he's got tools that could put him in the pros one day, and, like, I would say X, Brock. I mean, you got Will Stark. I mean, Jack he's struggling, but you can see where he's starting to come back and his swing's looking better and everything like that. And Peyton Tolley, just an absolute dog. Like, he's a dog on the mound. He just wants to go out and win. He pitches with so much compassion. When he gets in the plate, he doesn't overthink. He likes to just have fun. And I think those guys are going to help us win. And I think those are the guys that we should be looking for coming this season.
X is Xavier Caceria playing third base. Will Stark, is he the fastest kid on this team?
He's got the fastest feet for sure, but we do have some guys that, I mean, can compete with him. I think he's got the quickest couple steps out of the box that just make it so much easier for him to get down the line and everything.
So tell us how you got to Wichita State.
Well, that's a long story.
Right.
So I started out at Angelina College, played there my freshman year, and then the COVID year only played 20 games. So after that year, I was signed with South Carolina. I signed October 2019, so before we even played the COVID year, I was signed there. They called me in May and was like, there's only 5 rounds of the draft. We're having a bunch of seniors come back. Like, you can come, but you're not going to be on scholarship. And I was just like, that bummed me out because that was just like my dream school. That's where I've always wanted to go. So when they called me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go in the transfer portal. And when that happened, a bunch of schools called me. Nothing that I was just like wanting to just take and everything like that. The money wasn't there. So I decided to go back to Angelina College. Well, after I went back to Angelina College 2 weeks later, the dean of Angelina College came out and said they're just going to do away with all sports, like every sport for the 2021 season. And so that really bummed me out. So I had to go through another recruiting process. And the first school that called me was Northeast Central Texas. And when they called me, they made me feel at home. I knew the coaches. I mean, they were in my conference, so I kind of knew the players. So I kind of went through that. And then I decided to just go there because I knew, for one, I'd play. Two, it'd give me a time to become better, improve in what I needed to improve in. Played there, and Sirianni called me in the fall of 2021. He offered me. Some stuff went down, and ended up not taking the offer, and he stayed in touch with me until like April, and then he made another offer. It was a great offer, and I decided that this is where I need to be. He was a really good infield coach, has helped me tremendously, and so I just felt like this would be the place that I can strive at and I could be successful.
Interesting. So I think everybody that follows college athletics is trying to figure out how that COVID year and all the stuff that went on around it is going to affect people. And so you are an example. You got squeezed out because the extra eligibility for the mm-hmm. four-year players, mm-hmm. there just wasn't a spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Exactly.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell us about your life in baseball. Was it always your sport? Were there other sports that you were intrigued by?
So, I mean, I played basketball and baseball my whole life. I got to high school and I always knew that I was better in baseball and then I had a future in baseball, but I was always playing to have fun. I was never really thinking about going to college when I was a freshman, sophomore. I wasn't a big time, prospect of this, that, and the other. But so I got to my junior year and I asked my baseball coach, I was like, do you think that I should just do away with basketball? And he was like, you do what you need to do. Like, I'm not going to persuade you one way or the other. You do what makes you happy. And I feel like basketball helped me be as athletic as I am now. So I decided to stay. Got to my senior year. It was probably the most fun I've ever had playing both sports. Made me who I am. I think towards the end of basketball season, I started noticing that I could potentially go wherever I wanted to for baseball. So I decided to take the JUCO route and go to Angelina College.
Have you played much pickup basketball with your teammates here? Give us some scouting reports if you have.
I, I mean, we played in the fall. We had like this competition day where we like everybody had to pick teams and we played basketball, and that was really fun to get back out there. But you always have that urge to just go out there and do like as hard as you can, but you got to think about injury and stuff like that. So we couldn't really just push it as hard as we could, but it was still fun.
Who was the best shooter in the competition day?
Probably Seth Stroh. Seth, yeah. I mean, he can dunk it whenever he wants. He's a guy like me that played basketball, baseball. I think he played football, track. He's just an athletic guy, but he was definitely the best out there, I think.
Yeah, he looks like a basketball player. I can see that. You know who's a big pickup basketball fan? I don't think he plays anymore, but for years and years he did, is Mike Pelfrey.
Oh, yeah, he was out there. Was he? Yeah, he was. At the end, there was the team that won it all or whatever that went 3-0 in the little pickup games, got to play all the coaches, and Pelfrey was out there, and he was locking them down, and it was fun. It was fun to watch.
What was it like playing the coaches? Did they call a bunch of fouls and
no,
that
they
kind
didn't.
Of stuff?
They were rough. They were really rough. They didn't call any fouls. If you called a foul on them, they would just be like, quit being like that and all that. So it was fun to watch.
Did Eric Wedge take all the shots because
he
the head coach?
No, he didn't even get out there.
Oh, he didn't play.
He didn't even get out there.
Interesting. All right. I would have liked to have seen a little pickup basketball from Shocker Baseball.
For sure.
You started second base. You've started in left field. I'm trying to think of – it's kind of an – odd combination. I'm trying to think of other Shockers who have done that, and nothing pops to mind. There's probably some. Do you consider yourself infielder, outfielder? How do you think about that?
So, I mean, I've always been an infielder. I haven't played outfield since I was, probably 12. And Sirianni came up to me and was like, dude, like, we're going to have to find ways for you to be in the lineup. Like, can you play left field? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I haven't played since a long time ago. And he was just like, well, just go out there and try it, and if you don't like it, we'll see what we can do. And, I mean, I told him, my exact words is, Coach, I can play anywhere. Anywhere you put me, I can play anywhere. As long as I can get in the lineup, I really don't care. And he was like, okay. And so I started there, and I've always been an infielder, so it's kind of been back and forth there. I mean, I've been second base, shortstop, third base the whole fall. So it's like whatever the team needs is basically what I'll do, like whatever I can do to help. So that was a big deal to get me in the lineup, even if it was left field. So
take us back to the fall. What were your early impressions of Shocker baseball?
Always knew Wedge was he's just going to be hard. But I like to have that strict coach. I got here and the guys were just welcoming. They knew that I came from another college, junior college, and it was just welcoming to get in there and, basically do what I needed to do to perform and to get closer with guys and stuff like that.
We're sitting in a room. I always have to ask this question. We've got all the uniforms up on the wall. Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I really like the grays and the pinstripes. And then it would go probably, if I had to guess, it would probably go pinstripe gray and then the black with the cursive Shockers on it. I haven't got to wear the digi camo yet. So that'll be fun to do. And, yeah, but I also like the creams. The creams, they go hard.
Quite a variety, that's for sure. The 12-game mm-hmm. hitting streak, do you have superstitions?
Basically, the only superstition I have is probably my batting gloves. Until I go a game where I don't have a hit, I probably won't use them. But I've got two rips in both of – or just my left hand. I have a rip right here by my ring finger and my pinky finger, but – I'm going to keep using them until they don't produce. So that's about it.
So the batting gloves are the – that's the superstition. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody on this team got interesting superstitions?
Not that I could hear or see, but I'm sure guys have kind of got the same thing, but not that I can see.
You are from Texas, mm-hmm. big Houston Astros fan. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite Astros player?
Carlos Correa.
Okay.
For sure.
What do you like about his game?
He kind of reminds me of myself, even though he's 2 inches taller. But he's just kind of a long guy that really athletic, can come up in clutch situations. I mean, with his MLB lockout, like, he was looked at to get a really big extension from somebody, and it kind of hurt my feelings if he would have went somewhere else. But hopefully he stays with the Astros. I can be even more of an Astros fan, but he reminds me so much of myself, even from the right batter's box. It's just he's just a dog. Like, he just gets out there and grinds, and he's just one of my favorite players.
Thoughts on the lockout? Are you disappointed? Angry?
I'm pretty disappointed that some owners are kind of selfish about it. Like, I don't think anybody likes Rob Manfred, but kind of disappointed. Kind of want to watch baseball, but same time, that it's just making college baseball even more enjoyable to watch, because everybody now is talking about college baseball. They don't really care about the lockout, and I mean, Texas State just beat number one Texas last night. I mean, it's just, it's a big atmosphere to be in right now, and I think that's why everybody enjoys it.
I've been to several games at the Astros ballpark. Do you have a favorite ballpark treat that you like to get when you go?
Man, probably the nachos that come in the baseball helmet. That's probably that, and like probably an icy to go with it. Oh, that just hits the spot.
The batting practice helmet. You can't you can't go wrong with that. Whether it's ice cream or nachos, it's always a 100%. good treat at the ballpark. How about the DH? DH or no DH in Major League Baseball?
I think it's a bunch of controversial stuff, but I think if it's either going to be put one way or the other, I think either both leagues shouldn't have it or both leagues should have it. It just shouldn't go back and forth. Where if you go to a National League park, your pitcher has to hit, and if you go to American League park, then you have a DH. I think it should be one way or the other.
You wear number 3. Is there a significance to number 3?
So, I mean, I got here and basically they picked my number, but 3, like 3 and 27, that's my birthday, March 27th. So it was kind of good to get 3 because month of March, and then 27th, my birthday. And I used to be 5 all the way up until, I mean, my senior year. And then I wore it once in junior college. So 5, 3, and 27 were my favorite numbers, probably.
Was 5 for George Brett?
No, I used to have 55 when I was like younger, and when I got into like actual school sports, 55 was like a triple XL. It's like the biggest jersey like there was, so I just had to go with 5 and kind of wore that from then on out. And then 27, Mike Trout, probably my second favorite player, and then it just kind of goes with my birthday, so.
From now on, tell people you wore 5 for George Brett.
Okay.
Your first name, Sawyre, not the, I guess, not the traditional spelling of Sawyer. Is there a story behind the spelling?
So when I was born, my mom and dad were just going back and forth between, my mom wanted me to be named Dylan. And so my dad was like, no, I want him to be Sawyer. And then my mom was like, well, if it's going to be Sawyer, we're going to spell it different. And so she switched the R and the E, and now I'm Sawyer Dylan Thornhill. So, like, that, they both got what they wanted, and it was a good deal. So,
unique. I like it. Perfect hunting weekend. Describe what that would look like.
Perfect hunting weekend. It'd be below freezing. If it was opening day of deer season and it's below freezing, and where I can just turn on the heater in the deer stand and just sit there and as long as possible, that would be my perfect sit. And then duck hunting the same way. I want it to be really, really cold. I do not want to duck hunt Texas because it's absolutely horrible. It is not fun. But if I had to pick a perfect duck hunting spot, it'd be somewhere in Kansas, some probably snowing, because that I've never hunted in the snow. So that'd be kind of cool to do. But yeah, I think those would be the perfect like scenarios.
Why is the cold so important to you?
For one, deer hunting, when it's cold, they're more likely to get up and to go feed and stuff like that. If it's hot, they can just lay down and then wait for the night, and then you can't really hunt. You can't hunt at night. So it being cold gets them up, gets them trying to get warm, get some food, stuff like that. So that'd be more time you'll see them.
So it's a strategic thing then.
Yeah.
You can stand the discomfort because mm-hmm. you're more likely to be
100%.
More likely to be successful. Have you gotten a chance to get out and hunt much in Kansas?
I haven't hunted in Kansas yet, but me, Brock, Drew, we went out to a couple public land spots to see, and we went out there and just to kind of scout and stuff, and we saw a couple deer, but never got a chance to go and get my license or anything like that. But Thanksgiving break, I got to go home and hunt, and so that was fun. I got to go home for the whole month of December and hunt, so that was a big deal to me.
What is the most, I guess, impressive hunting success you've had?
So, I mean, my, let's see, my, it would have been 2021 fall, no, it had been 2020 fall, I was at Northeast Texas, and we went, let's see, it would have been October, so it was still kind of warm. I got to go home for the weekend because we didn't have practice for the weekend. I got to go home, and on Sunday, the last hunt before I got to go back to college, I sat there, and it was kind of a warm day, so I didn't figure that I was going to see much. And the deer that I'd been hunting for the past 2 or 3 weeks stepped out at 9:30, and I did my due diligence, and I got him, and that was probably the happiest I've been in a long time hunting wise. And it was a 9-point, scored 140 inches. It was a big deal to me.
And do you have a favorite meal, a favorite cut, favorite thing you do with the venison definitely, or whatever?
Yeah, so definitely the backstraps, fried oak backstraps are the best thing you can have to me. But yeah.
I'm fascinated by the wild hogs in Texas and Oklahoma. Do you ever hunt them?
Yeah, like anytime they come out, I try to get rid of them because they're an invasive species. Like they just tear up everything. They take all the, like if you have corn or anything like that, they just eat all of it. So it kind of makes it hard for the deer to come around because they don't have anything to eat because the hogs eat it all. So,
yeah, that's an interesting situation. All right, Sawyer, thank you very much for your time. Again, we've got the Shockers playing this weekend at X Stadium. The series starts against South Dakota State at 3 p.m. Friday. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.